Hello and welcome to the Centre for Cities podcast. The Centre for Cities is the first port of call for independent research and policy analysis focusing on UK city economies. For more information on this series or our broader research and events programme, please visit www.centreforcities.org.
Great, so welcome to this Centre for Cities podcast to talk about the state of business support in the UK. With me today I've got Mike Spicer from the British Chambers of Commerce and Peter Pledger from South London Business Association, both old hands in the world of business support and its many guises. And we're going to have a conversation really about the state of the current system and maybe some of their thoughts on how we might improve it. So, Mike, we just published a briefing, looks yes. at the state of the current system. Unsurprisingly, comes out that it's very complex and lacks clear structure. What's the kind of impact that a complex and unstructured system is having on businesses on the ground?
I suppose there are two ways to respond to that. Firstly, let's be clear that in most cases, and in the majority of cases, when businesses seek external support for a business problem, the likelihood is they will go to a private sector provider, usually an accountant or a bank or a chamber of commerce or other business representative organisation. So that's what most businesses experience as business support. And that market is inevitably complex. It should be. It's healthy to have complexity and to have competition so that we get the best quality of support. Mm-hmm. However, if we look on the other side, where you have public sector provision, or publicly funded provision of business support, as the report rightly states, it's complex. We have over 900 schemes. The reason for that mostly is that you have the biggest provision of schemes at a local level. So this 900 is not a reflection really of the number of national schemes, it's the number of things that are being provided locally. Where that becomes an issue for businesses, particularly where you have businesses that are active in different parts of the country, and if their experience of doing business in different parts of the country tells them that, oh, actually, you know, in that part of the world, if I want to get a support service on, say, access to finance, this is the provider here, or if I'm in another part of the country, it doesn't seem to be the same provider here, mm-hmm. I have to go somewhere okay. else. So the real impact is that it can be confusing, and anything that's confusing is likely to be taken up less than it otherwise would be. Okay. So I think that's the impact for businesses, but there are ways to overcome it.
Okay, well, we'll come on to the how we might improve the system
sure.
in a second. But Peter, from your point of view, you know, South London and elsewhere, how does this sort of complex and unstructured system work in practice?
Well, South London Business, which is sort of part of the Prospect group, has been delivering business support for over 13 years now. And complexity is not new. What is new is this report from Centre for Cities. I'm delighted that you produced it, because it highlights absolutely the right questions about what the role is of the public sector and what the role is of the private sector. The complexity is not a problem, because businesses are complex. And the question, is there enough business support out there? Absolutely. The vast majority of which is provided by the private sector. Mm-hmm. Banks, despite some of the criticisms, lawyers, accountants, consultants, there is no shortage of advice. So I don't mind having that range of support, but it's what the public sector ought to do to ensure that businesses can get to it. And it's that signposting role and guiding role, but not getting in the way of the private sector doing what it does best.
Okay, so you highlight the point there. We raise it in the report. Mike's just mentioned it. 900 schemes, you know, there or thereabouts. There's probably more than that in reality. And the real mix of local and national going on. Within the system, Peter, what's the balance? Have we got the balance right between, you know, national system or national programs, local programs, public and private? I mean, where are we in that balance? I know it's a kind of difficult issue and it's always changed, but are we broadly right in that area?
I'm not sure whether we are right. There appears to be an obsession within the public sector for neatness, that we need to have a uniform supervision across the country for everybody. Businesses are not neat. We do not want them to be neat. We want them to be profitable. And therefore, what we need to do is to see where we can actually move the provision from the public sector to the private sector to make sure the right provision is in the right place. And where it isn't the right place, to act for the public sector to act as a bridge to get the private sector into those areas.
And Mike, from your perspective, you know, sort of sitting in between in some respects, providing local services to your members, but also grappling with the national system. Have we got the balance right?
I think when you see the 900 figure, as I said before, you know, it can appear shocking when you first see it, and when you realise that the vast majority of that number is local schemes, it can seem at least at first blush, mm-hmm. like there's a lot going on. I'd point out one thing though, which is that, and this picks up on Peter's point, which is that sometimes for some types of business support, actually, you need there to be a lot of them. So okay. The one I always come back to is CDFIs. So these are Community Development Finance Initiatives. All of the research shows that they are most effective when they are highly targeted geographically. And when I mean highly targeted, I mean almost to ward level.
Right.
That's how specific you have to be
yes.
to cut out issues like dead weight. Well, how many wards are there, you know, in England? You know, hundreds if not thousands. So, you know, that number in and of itself isn't the issue.
Right.
The issue is, as you said, you know, it's about have we got, is there a balance that has to be struck, and if there is it right? And I think the answer has to be that as long as businesses know where to go, as long as there is a place they can go where somebody can point them in the right direction if they're not able to provide it themselves. And of course, from my perspective, that would be a Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
If there's not a service that we can provide privately, then if there is a service there, we have a duty of care towards our members that we would point them in that direction. So as long as those facilities and systems exist, there isn't a problem per se, I think, with the
okay.
balance.
And as always in many areas, but we're now in the process of receiving the latest round of new policy initiatives. This time it's the Business Bank, if we get it. It's certainly City Deals, which are rolling out, and obviously Heseltine, which is on the horizon. Peter, from your perspective, you know, what sort of effect are these new policy initiatives going to have on the business support environment? Are they going to add complexity? Will they maybe introduce, you know, simplifying it to a degree? I mean, where do you sit on that?
Well, I think it's inevitable. It will add complexity. Whenever government enacts a scheme, then it just makes the picture that more complex. Also, government always have an obsession with trying to get neatness in the picture and trying to balance things out. And like I said, they announce schemes and they say we want everybody to apply universally across the piece. Well, these are contradictory things. Is a business bank a good thing? Well, anything that brings more finance to businesses will clearly be a good thing, although it's not going to be a direct retail bank, it's going to be at a wholesale level. Again, I just urge government to always think before they announce things. I know they're under pressure to do things, whether or not they think it's going to work, because that's what governments are for. But perhaps what government should be doing is focusing on how it can stimulate the private businesses that are involved in business support to be more effective mm-hmm. in the localities. Perhaps do a little less, but do it a little bit more smart.
Okay. And Mike, business, you know, the business chambers and British Chambers of Commerce, you know, very active in calling for a business bank and calling for some aspects of Heseltine and all the review aspects of that. Why is that important? You know, why do we need those sorts of interventions?
Well, starting with the business bank, I mean, what we're calling for is something that other countries have had and do have. As a matter of course, if you look at competitor economies like South Korea, Germany, the United States, Canada, Australia, all of them have a business bank type institution. We think it can be a great way of increasing access to finance to businesses who need it. But before that can happen, two things need to be addressed. One is, as Peter says, the business bank as it's currently planned will operate in the shadows in the wholesale market. It will not have a direct relationship with businesses.
Yeah.
In other words, it's putting into an institutional form some of the kinds of initiatives that are happening already to boost finance to banks in the hope that it will trickle down to businesses. We don't think that's the right setup. We'd like there to be a direct relationship. So we'd like the business bank to have its own origination, capable of originating its own loans, its own infrastructure for assessing risk, and so that it can act in a way that it behaves in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Heseltine, just finally, and some of the other kind of forces that are at work in this area. I mean, we welcome the fact that Haseltine called for a sort of greater visibility and role for chambers in being a kind of first stop shop for business support, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. And I think it's now that the ball is in our court to be able to say, right, this is how we can see it working across England. This is a model that allows for local tailoring, but also has a degree of simplicity that businesses can understand that their chamber is their local, is their first stop shop for accessing business support, whether in the public or private sector.
Great, fantastic. Thank you very much to Mike and Peter. And obviously the centre will continue to do some work and more thinking around the business support system and how it evolves over the coming months and years ahead. Thanks very much.